we've got to remain free of sin's control. And that's the one thing that holds us down. It holds the church down. It holds individuals down. It holds a lot of us down, is the control that sin can have on us. And if we don't pay attention to these things, we allow it to little by little, I think like maybe this morning, talking about how it creeps in just little by little, a little of this, a little of that. And as much as leaven is good to increase the loaf of bread, the bad stuff in there will also increase. And so you've got to watch that. But anyway, let's look quickly at some things here. To be free from sin's control, we just kind of wrapped up, I think, last week off of that, and we're going to get into relating to the kingdom here pretty quick. But let's just touch base real quick, because I really think it is important to know of watching the sin and how things in that area can null and void the kingdom principles that God has for us. If I go to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11, and it just says here that do you not know, my goodness, that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God. The unrighteousness is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And we understand our righteousness is not my righteousness. You know, we've got to have the righteousness of God if we want to live this thing out properly. But it does say here that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. That tells me that if it says do not be deceived, it tells me that I can be deceived. I've been deceived in my life, have you? So the word is true. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And here's where it looks, and this is when I got to this week and I was looking at it, it's like, and such were some of you. Oh boy, that brought me back sometime, like, oh man, Lord. Such was I at one time that way, huh? As any one of us in here this morning would say, huh, he's got my number, does he have yours? And such were some of you, but this is where the change, this is where the transformation takes place. This is what we have over those that are still out there in the world. This is the transformational thing that changes the whole future for us. Amen? And what is that? But you were sanctified. Oh, it says, but you were sanctified, but you were justified. I was washed, I was sanctified, and I was justified by who? Jesus. And in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I was sanctified, set apart. You got to know we have been set apart for such a time as this. Amen? In your life today, tomorrow, Monday, you've got to know that you have been set apart for what's going to take place tomorrow. To be ready. To know that you're not there alone. To know that God is there with you. But you've been set apart, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. That's what's so wonderful when we receive communion on a monthly basis. To remember back to the things that Jesus had accomplished for us. Not to continue to think about him hanging upon that cross, but to know what I have received because of that. Because of what he has done so many thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, that I've been sanctified and washed by the blood and justified. Wow. Thank you, Father. But then you go into, and get a little bit deeper into some of this, if you go to Galatians, it's gonna touch upon the same areas of, you know, the unrighteousness and the things that you're going to be doing that will not inherit and not be a part of the kingdom. Let's just look there really quick, Galatians 5 and then 16 to 21. But I say this, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is an important tool of being in part of the kingdom of God or being in the kingdom of God and walking through that life, even in the here and now, is to do what? To walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh really wants to do some dumb things, doesn't it? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, and so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are now under the law, and now the works of the flesh are evident. And it goes on and it lists these connections of things of what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry. You read the list there and it goes on, and it lists a lot of terrible things, doesn't it? Man, when I get reading halfway through that, I just almost want to stop and go, yuck. That's the flesh. And then I think back to Corinthians when I said, and you were at that time practicing those things, except for now, because of the blood, because of being washed, because of Jesus, because of the Spirit, you no longer are in that. But I've got to be remaining in the Spirit to stay away from that. Amen? You've got to stay there. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But then we get into the thing of when we are in that kingdom concept, when we do walk in the kingdom, there are good things in the kingdom, guys. You know, these are the negative things that I've just thrown out there about what this is all about when you're walking in the flesh. But you know what the world needs to understand, what they're walking in out there is their flesh. And they got to understand that what they're doing out there is contrary to what God's rules or God's laws are into how you should live yourself as who you are. Now, who are you? Are you someone of that of the devil, or are you of someone of that of the Spirit? You're going to serve one of the two. And we were all serving the devil at one time or another in our life until we got a hold of, to hear the transformation news of what Jesus has accomplished for us and received him as our Lord and Savior, cleansed in the blood, washed by the blood, the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. All your garments, spotless are they, white as snow. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what it was about, and it's no different than anybody out there can accomplish that. It's there freely for everyone out there. But the world out there is walking in things, and now because we as the church or we as kingdom people say, hey, wait a minute, you know, homosexuality is wrong, sodomy is wrong, adultery is wrong, they think, oh, you guys are way out there in left field. Everybody should have a choice of what they want to do. Everybody should have a belief in whatever they want to believe in. You know, as long as it doesn't affect me personally, let them do what they want to do. But they don't understand that eventually a little leaven leavens it all. As we as a society say, well, okay, that's okay for that little gender of people or that sect of people over there. And if that's what they want to do, fine, let them do that. I'm over here. But we don't understand. They're doing their lawlessness. This one over here is doing their deceitfulness. And this one over here is doing these things that they want to do. And pretty soon as a society, and that's what we are a society of people. We're a country. We're made up of people. The people make up the nation. Here we are. We got all kinds of people out there. And we allow a leaven, a little of that leaven, because it's like a lot of people say, well, let's just let them go as long as they don't bother us. But that festers and that develops and that grows. And before you know it, I'm glad I'm not of this world. Because as I look at it as of this world, you know, it's like, oh my, it's getting doom and gloomer, darker out there, you know, because of the things that we want to be okay with everybody and everybody has a voice and everybody, you can't have that. The only one person, the one true thing that would, should have, and will have, and he demands his only voice is that of God. You know, it's his way and only his way. It's not up for my thoughts. It's not up for me to debate. It's not up for me to say, well, God, why can't you just allow a little bit of this? Because, you know, eventually they'll eventually catch hold of it and they'll go the right way. And a lot of times they don't catch a hold of it. A lot of times they continue to veer off and veer off and veer off. And then they get to say, well, this is what society is and it's okay because, you know, a third of the populace says it's okay or a fourth of it says it's okay, so it must be okay and maybe it's just me. Maybe when I went to church and I was taught all these things, maybe it was just like drilled into me and that's the wrong way to think. Everybody should have a freedom and choose and do what they want. I've been bought with a price. My Bible says I'm no longer my own. I'm His. That should be your thoughts, I hope, that you're no longer your own. That I, you know, Tim, what is your opinion of this? I don't have an opinion anymore. Let me see what my God says. Because that's what really matters anyway. And because I could be distorted. I could be confused. I could be maybe, you know, a bleeding heart. Or like, oh, okay, let's do that or let's allow that because it's not going to affect everything. But God's word is so powerful. God's word is so strong. God's word is so true. God's word is so magnifying to show what really happens when these things happen. And so we got to be cautious, and we got to understand as we talk about this kingdom message, and it says that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom. The unrighteous will not enter in. You know, we've got to watch these things, and we've got to read and reread and keep focus on these things. And now I can focus on a lot of the things. I don't know, probably a lot of those things I'm not going to do, but you know, I could get into sorcery. I could be outburst of wrath or dissensions, or I could heresy. I could be, you know, gossiping and things like that. And that's just as bad, right? And so we don't want to major just on the big minor or major on the majors that we say, ooh, you know, the first few things there that he talks about, murdering and things of that and adultery and fornication, all this. I'm going to be away from that. I'm not going to be doing that. But we got to read the whole thing, and that's where we as a society, we got to let people know that it's this whole gamut of things that God calls sin. It's this whole gamut of things that says if you do these things that you are not right for the kingdom of God and you're not going to have it. And a lot of that even takes place within our churches. There's many that we hear in God's word and we read it many times and we read it again and again at times where they hear that verbiage where it says, hey, I'm here. Here I am, Lord. And the Lord's going to say, I knew you not. What do you mean, Lord? You knew me not. I did all these things, you know, cast out the demons. I did all this prayer. I did all this. I served in the church. Wait, Lord, wait a minute. You don't mean, what do you mean you don't know me? I knew you not. And so we in our churches, myself, us, all of us here individually, we need to take that accounting and that inventory of ourselves to make sure that that day will come sometime. And it's one of those things that we're going to stand before him. And I just want to hear him say, hey, Tim, welcome home. I knew you. You're one of mine. Come on in. You know? Boy, it just have to be, I don't know, that's like walking into somebody, I guess your boss or something, and you think they know you real well and all that, and you go up and say, hey, you're like on a first name basis, and the guy goes, well, who are you? Well, I thought you knew me. I've been here for 25 years. I've been working. I've been giving my blood and sweat to this place. Oh, really? I knew you not. You're just, you know, other things were on my radar screen, not you. But God, you know, will say that, welcome, good and faithful servant. He's got that to say also. So he's either going to say, depart from me, I knew you not, or he's going to say, welcome, good and faithful servant. I hope I'm on that right side where it says, welcome. And it's a day in and day out walk. It's a thing that we have to continually be thinking, processing, listening by that of the Spirit, because it talks about, what did it say? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You've got to walk in the Spirit on this side of heaven as well. You got to be Spirit-led, Spirit-fed, you know. Talk by that of the Spirit, a heavenly language, speaking in tongues, whatever the case might be, because I don't know what to pray at times, Lord, but I know I need to pray, and I know I want an answer from you, and I want it to be your answer. I just got to disconnect my flesh. When I talk like this, this is my flesh talking, this is me talking, this is my mind, this is what I'm thinking, and I want to say, and hopefully I think before I talk. Sometimes I don't. Has anybody ever been there? That's the flesh. That's the man. That's bing, bing, bing. All kinds of lights and arrows are pointing down. I don't know. I can see it in the Spirit. I just know it's like. But if I can walk in the Spirit, and then, so you know, if we can get into a message and you say, Lord, use my voice, use my vocal cords, use, Lord, my mind and all, and just what I share and say, Lord, I want it to be that of you speaking through me. We are all his vessels. We are to be his vessels here. Good-looking vessels, amen? God's vessels are not junk. God's vessels are not cracked, hallelujah, you know. Maybe you were at one time, but let him work you and remold you and reform you into that clay. You're the potter and I'm the clay. And so we walk this thing out, but we want to make sure that if we can stay in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and think in the Spirit, you will be Spirit-led, hallelujah, Spirit-fed by that of the throne of God. For Jesus said, I do not say except what I hear my Father say. I don't do but what I see my Father do. Has anybody ever had visions? Have you ever had dreams and visions and you've seen these things and it doesn't make sense at times and it's like, how? Whoa, Lord, what was that? Where does that take place? Wow, Lord. There's a few times I've had those things and, you know, the next night or the next hour that I try to go back to sleep or I roll over and all, I think, okay, Lord, we got to pick up where we left off. I don't know if it always works that way. Because at times it's like, And then there's times that you have those dreams and those visions and things, and then that next morning you wake up, and you think nothing of it, and you go through 3/4 of the day, or maybe 2 days of that week, and then all of a sudden something trips, something sees, something there, something you hear, something out there, and you go, wait a minute. Have I been here before? Have I seen this before? This reminds me, Lord, of a few nights back, in a dream that I was dreaming, blah, 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 blah. My goodness, we need to sleep in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit. Sleep in the Spirit. At night, when our minds should be shutting down, in the darkness, in the quiet, you know, we have those things and different trainings and all that for stresses and stuff like that and stress factors out there. And there's studies out there that prove these things that, you know, you really just need to shut everything down at night and get a solid X number of hours of sleep. Ideally, it needs to be in a totally dark room. Nothing going on. For your mind to just... And for your body to replenish itself and for all this stuff to take place. But I'm as guilty as anybody else. We got stuff going on all the time, all night, every time, you know, whatever, you know, just. And our minds don't have a chance anymore to just crash and just listen and just mellow out. I think that's probably the schemes of the devil, you know, because we as a society go, 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 keep busy, go here, go there, do this, do that. I'm amazed. This past week or so, just in a conversation and hearing somebody talk about things that they had to do after they left their job and all with, you know, the things that they were involved in with their kids and things like that, it was like phenomenal. I wore out just listening to all that they still had to do, and it was already like 6:15 or 6:30 in the evening, and they still had like three things to do before 10 o'clock. I'm thinking, oh, this club, this sport, this sport, you know? We're on a fast track of the devil, the world, or somebody's out there saying, if I can just keep these people so doggone busy, their mind won't shut down to be able to hear the Spirit. Because God says in his word, hear my still small voice. God wants to speak to us in a tone of, hey Tim, how you doing? Hey, I was with you today. I liked what you did. Tim, I really didn't like what you did there. Could have been better. Should have felt, you know, said this, different, whatever. I just want to talk to you, Tim. But see, he can't talk to us in that still, small voice. Because we've got so much interactions and things taking place. And I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. You know? Oh, just me. But you begin to look at these things and you realize why it's happening. Because it just wears you down. It just wears you down. I mean, I was at a conference where this person said that They thought it was crazy at first, but studies have done this, and they said they went out and bought sleep masks. Do you have one? In Alaska, well, yeah. Yeah, light all the time. Like, oh, we don't have to go sleep, hey. Oh, man. But, yeah, and I always thought sleep masks were for movie stars. Yeah, when I was growing up, well, you're a star, you know? But I just thought, like, I always thought you'd see, like, in the movies, you know, where these ladies, they couldn't sleep at night, so they'd have this their little glittery robe on and furry collar and their little sleep mask here sleeping. I thought, I don't know. Yeah, it must be just something special for women. I don't know. But, you know, you hear these studies and all, and this one presenter said, oh, yeah. She goes, not only do I have one, she goes, my whole family has one. My husband has, my kids. I've got two or three kids, adults, you know, teenagers, adults. Because of the importance of, because even when your eyes are shut and if there's lights on, there's that something in your eye, there's still stuff going on. So it's very deep. It's very interesting when you begin to listen to these people in the professional side of physiology things of our mind and why it our mind just keeps going on. I know my wife would say, Tim, your mind goes all the time. It just thinks of the silliest things and dumbest things at times. She's right. There's things that all of a sudden it's like, chew, wow, what about that, honey? You know, just goes. If the kids don't think of it or if the grandkids don't think of it, grandpa does. It's like, oh boy, we're dangerous now. You know, I get the privilege of watching kids here and there, you know, but they think they're leaving their kids with an adult. I got them fooled. Because one day I was Han, I was the prince, and I was getting married to one of my granddaughters who was Anna. She goes, Grandpa, you're going to be Han. I go, okay, what does he do? Well, we dance. We dance, and then the other one says, and then they get married. And then she came and she hugged me. And we got married. And so, huh? Oh, yeah, I was just like, oh, okay. But making up stories with them, I just make up, I don't know where. I was just somewhere in a forest with bears, in a forest with this or that. So my mind's always going, so I need to settle down myself. Like, slow down, Tim. You know. I find those times, a lot of times, looking out here at a sunset or after men's or Wednesday meeting or something like that, or Sundays or a Bible study, and it's now it's too late because it's dark. But you know, it's that time when we leave about 7:30 or so, and the sun was just setting. It was so reddish and beautiful and pinkish, and the clouds and all. But you find those quiet times. But it is important, and so I think that the Lord says that He wants to speak to us in a small voice, in a still voice, just in a calm voice. Now, there is times that God will do that, you know, when He can't get your attention, He may have to shout at you. Hey! Yes, God! Woo! Got that one! And He'll do that. But I'd much rather go to my Lord and say, oh, just carry on a conversation. But that's that thought process, walking in the Spirit, listening in the Spirit, keeping your spirit antenna up, you know, like, okay, Lord, here I am. Even though I'm at work, even though I'm doing this, even though I'm over here, even though I'm whatever case might be, I want to be open to You and to hear the things that You have for me because I want to be a pleasing vessel for You. We get into the other areas of the fruits of the Spirit are the powerful things, man. Ooh, my goodness. And that's where the kingdom thing kicks in. You know, if we're connected to God, if you're connected to the things of Him day in and day out, you know, we should be, you know, walking in that Spirit and walking that fruit of the Spirit of love and in joy and in peace and being in patience or long-suffering, having kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness, self-control, all those things that we would have as we walk out and play a part in the kingdom of things of God. And so there are good things in the kingdom, guys. And it's for good things on this side of heaven. You know, I want to walk in those things. I want to walk in all these things. But I've got to be righteous, and I've got to hear, and I've got to listen, and I've got to stay in the Spirit, and I've got to be walking in those things. And it goes on to a life producing that of the fruit of the Spirit is that Galatians 5, 16 to 21 says, ooh, control those things of sin. Then you drop down to Galatians 5, but then you go to 21 to 23, and it's the producing of the fruit of the Spirit. We all need to be walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Don't you agree? Whew. I'm glad I heard somebody. I was about ready to run out the back door. No, I don't want to walk in love. I don't want to walk in kindness. I want to be... So how are we to closing and moving into some of this here? Just quickly, we've already talked a lot of these scriptures, but how do you relate to the kingdom? Well, Matthew 6:10, you pray for it. You know, that's the Lord's Prayer, right? Matthew 6:10, just if you look there, if you want to. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. We're just going to kind of ricochet off of some of these things. How do you relate to that of the kingdom? 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done. Talks about our Father in heaven. Your name is hallowed. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen. So we pray for it. We pray for his kingdom. Do you find yourself praying more along that line? I never used to until I got an understanding of God's will, and I need to pray his will into things, not my desire, not my wants, not what I want type thing. I've got to get to that point, and it's gotten better throughout these last, you know, half a dozen, 12 years, whatever the case might be, that, you know, my prayer has to disconnect from what I want, and I've got to sit there, Lord, this is what I would want to see, but Lord, ultimately, it just needs to be your will in this situation, whatever it is, in areas of, in jobs, in finances, in health, in whatever it is, Lord, let your will be done. Because I know with God's will, it's not going to be wrong. It'll be the right thing at the right time for the right reason if I understand him well enough. And if I don't understand it, if I at least say, I don't understand it, Lord, but I understand that it's your will. And by faith, I'm trusting you. And by faith, I know that you're a good God, a loving God, a God that cares for me. You're that God back in, you know, in the Old Testament with Joshua and Caleb and saying, wherever you walk, the soles of your feet touch, I'm giving that to you. You're going to take this. You're going to receive this. You're going to go forth, and I'm going to be your God, and I'm going to be there to protect you, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But just don't waver it. Don't go left. Don't go right. Stay with me. Don't add to, don't take away from the things that I say and have you to do. Just stay consistent on course with God. And everything else shall be added unto you. Don't worry, guys. So we want to pray about it, and then we jump over to 6:23. It's talking about that of, I think it's, or 6:33. I think I fixed this last night, and then I forgot to I forgot to save it. I went to look at that, go, now I put some other side notes into this thing, but I don't see them here today. Be 6:33. It's all these things that we've talked about before. Food, coverings, places, clothes, grass, oh my goodness. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's the thing we got to do. As a church, as individuals, as a corporate body, whatever the case is, our focus, our direction, our desire, our mandate maybe is to just, you know what, seek the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. And all these other things will be added unto you. If we as a church seek the kingdom of God, we will fulfill in the community where we're at the niche that we're to take care of. We may not be everything to everybody out there. Amen. And not a lot of churches are everything to everybody out there. God has churches planted here, there, and everywhere. And it's important for those that he has placed there that we hear from him and that we walk out the orders that we would have as a body for this church or that church down the road and this one over here and that one up there to fulfill your kingdom mandate as what God wants you to do. Well, how do we find that out? Seek first his kingdom. Let thy will be done. And all these other things will be added unto you. It's been refreshing kind of listening again to Rick Renner on a webcast that he's done, but it's you can go onto it and look at the archives. It's every Monday. It's on the seven churches in Revelation. And just re-listening and going through it in the video and just watching and some things that he's talked about, it's the same teaching that he did, I think, back on just audio itself, but it's a little bit more with the video. But just the seven churches, you know, and what John was talking about, and those seven churches and what they were doing. And like in one of his sons asked a question, And it's like, no, there's all kinds of, God has, there's all kinds of churches everywhere out there. There's big ones and this one, little ones, this one, meet them. All these things are out there. There's a multitude of churches. But those seven within that area that he talked with, or John talked with, those are things that were happening in those seven churches are prevalent and same things that go on today in all these churches that are around the globe. And so it's just these seven that they picked out, and that was kind of like an interesting concept of where they were located and how they were gotten to and all that. It's just in the teaching that he had. But, you know, so there's a multitude of different churches out here, and we all fall into certain things that we're to do. And we're every church that's out here, I think within, by looking at those seven churches that were discussed in Revelation, this church here falls into one of those seven churches. It's, you know, you have to, myself, read it and reread it and contemplate it and pray about it and say, Lord, you know, where are we at in this? I hope I'm one of the two good ones, you know. I hope we as a church are one of the two, that we haven't gone off this way or that way and allowed these things in. And so I think as we look at that, we study that of the kingdom, we study that of, you know, wanting to follow God, and we want to walk out this, and we want to seek first his kingdom, and then we want to read some of the things in scriptures, and as a church, as a body, we want to look at what did he call out in those seven churches, and we as a church, I tell you what, if nothing else for ourselves, but probably every church around, we need to look at that as well. There's very important things in God's word that is for us, individually, corporately, churches, whatever. So it just ripples out like that of a like a ripple of water, you know, a wave. And so we have to. And you know, it's not hard. At first, when you look at all these things that you're like, oh my gosh, I got to look at this and make sure I'm following in my life personally this way. Now, Lord, how am I doing in this corporately area? Lord, now how are we doing over here as a church? It seems like there's a lot, but there's not a lot, because if you live out one way, you should live it out over this side too, right? If our ultimate thing is that we walk within the fruit of the Spirit, if we do those things that the fruit of the Spirit recognizes and tells us to be, then if it's in my private life, it should be this way. If it's in corporate with a church, it should be the same as that, just on a corporate level. And then as we look at it as a church, if we as a church are doing that, we as a body should be exemplifying that to those that come, to those that show up on a Sunday, to those that begin to come, that they begin to see these fruits of the Spirit. May those that come in have the fruits of the Spirit already? Maybe not, probably not. Some will, some won't. It depends, you know, as they come in the doors, as the Lord draws them, as he brings them in. And I believe in these latter days that the Lord is, and he talks about his Spirit drawing them, unless they are drawn by that of the Spirit, the Lord is looking, and he's, that's why it's important to look at those seven churches in Revelations and say, we need to gauge ourselves to fall with those two that were really good, to where the Lord would say, and that's where he's going to draw his people to. And it's not to say, well, this is going to, hey, if we can just get on this, we'll have just a gigantic church and it'll be great. Probably not. Probably not. But only God knows. Let thy will be done, God, you know. And as he draws and brings, he'll bring those that can help. He'll bring those that are trained up. He'll bring those that will be a part of the helps of leadership, those parts of things that need to be taking place. Because one person, two people can't do it. It needs the hands and the feet of multiple people to be able to fulfill the things that God wants to do. It's exciting, and things that, you know, talking within our leadership at times, just seeing the talents and the giftings that God has placed within each one of us, and those that how we play off of each other and how it and helps with one another. And I'm so blessed, you know, to look at those that are part of the leadership here. You know, it's praise God for that. Hallelujah. You know, praise God for that. And I hope that, you know, those that maybe aren't part of leadership, but you're getting a blessing of them. We want to share that. We want to share that talent. We want to share that gift. We want to let the Lord just minister to everyone as best that we can. You know, he's going to do it good. God's going to do it good. He's going to use us as the vessels. And it's just placing these vessels here to be used. It was interesting how Rick had got in the, you know, it talks about the seven candlesticks. And back then, it wasn't candles. He said, you know, when we think of a candlestick, you know, we think of a candle. He says the candles weren't invented for centuries and centuries and centuries later. But it was talking about that of a oil lamp, of a little lamp. And he said each one of those seven churches had their oil lamps were different types and sizes, and you know, but they were kind of fragile. You had to be careful with them because they were just of clay and vessel or whatever. You could crack them if you take them. And I think one of the things in the scripture is talking about where it talked about where I took one and I held it and I crushed it or something like that. I can't remember exactly how the verbiage was. But anyway, he went through that of the oil and the lamps and the wicks. But, you know, so we all are unique. I am so thankful that Harvester's Church is a unique church. And my pastor friends that I go visit with and their churches, whether they're denominational or whatever they might be, they're unique churches. They're awesome. It's just but I visit with them and I, you know, you can visit with people out there in the body. And, you know, the same things that we deal with here, they deal with over there. It's an amazing thing. It's people. It's the situations. And a lot of it is that we're finding, that I'm finding as visiting with them, it's the things that the draw of out there that is drawing the people within the church out there. Those that are, you know, God-fearing and loving people and helps in churches, you know, we have problems with that commitment. We have problems with the attendance. We have a problem with they're here and then they're not here and they're here and they're not here and in and out and in and out. And it's like, wow, Lord. I've shared this a lot of times, but I just thought that was on West Cemetery Road. But it's not. It just shows that we've got a job to do, we got to let people understand what the kingdom of God is all about. And that you got to remain strong. You got to remain faithful. You got to remain, you know, hooked up to the things of God and be willing and be there. Amen. If you're not there, you can't be used, can you? How can God use you in the body of Christ if you're not part of the body of Christ? Or if you're only the body of Christ one out of five Sundays? Goodness. You can't. It's one of these things, and it's one of these things of joining together and coming together and being together and praying together and encouraging together and to learn together and to share giftings and talents. Praise God. Hallelujah. We talk about praying for it, seek ye first. Colossians 4:11. Let's see here. I gotta find it here. Talks about working for it, and then we look at last part will be working for it. Yeah, suffering for it. So 4:11 says that. Oops.
Let's start at 3:1. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Right hand, right side, all in the things of this terminology and thought process, power. There's power on the right. That's why Jesus sits at the right hand of God. Look in Revelations when John says, I saw in his right hand seven stars. Power, power. The power is there in the right. Set your mind on these things above, not on things on the earth. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. We got a lot of people, myself included at times, if I don't watch myself, I set my mind on things of this earth. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, here we go again. All these things, passion, evil desires, covetousness. Because of these things, in verse 6, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once were, when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put away all this. Put away anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Say, I'm a new man. Who is renewed in knowledge according to who? The image of him who, what? Created him. Woo! That's exciting. Sounds pretty doom and gloom at first when I'm reading through there, but now I get down. Do not lie and all this, and since you, but I've put off the old man. I put on the new man, renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who's created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian. It goes on and talks about all these things. It's not who you are. It's not your culture. It's not whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised and all these things. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. So we find out that you gotta work into this thing, you know? Good things come to those that put out some effort, you know? And it's not saying you're working for your salvation. It's not saying that, you know, you're not going to work your way into heaven just because you do all these things. I'm going to heaven. No, it's because you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and he's your Lord. That's why you're going to heaven. But we've got to work on these things of being that of a kingdom person, that of living in the kingdom, that of a Christian, Christ-like, a follower, whatever we want to call ourselves, a disciple. We've got to work on these things and let those things be evident in our lives. Amen? Got to have evidence. You've heard that thing. You know, if there was a court of law and they put you on the stand, would there be enough evidence in your life to prove that you were a Christ follower? Would there be enough DNA in you? To prove that you were a follower of Christ. As they call those witnesses, you know, Tim, tell me, whatever their name would be, have you ever seen him exemplify these characteristics? No, Your Honor, he was a scoundrel, a liar, a cheat. Hopefully Jesus would jump up and say, override that. He was at one time that, but now he's a new man because he's been washed in my blood, cleansed in my blood. His sins are gone. He's my intercessor. He's my advocate, Jesus. But anyway, you got to work for it, and that's one of those things. It talks about suffering for it. I got a couple of things here, Acts 14:22 and then 2 Timothy. I don't know why. I think I had something for 2 Timothy. Let's see what. 2 Timothy 4. Well, okay, 2 Timothy 4. Wow, I was in 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Well, there's another one there. I was like, wow, that's the great apostasy. And that's another powerful thing to talk about. 2 Timothy 4, 16. And it talks about those that stood in defense. Well, I was just talking about it. You know, here I'm on the stand, cross-examined. No one stood with me, but all forsook me. May not be charged against them. But then it says here in 17, the Lord is faithful. That's where I want to do 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And we've talked about it and the tribulations and the things we have to go through. And we just know that we will get through those things. You will get through struggles. You will survive. You will conquer. You will overcome. What did that one song say up there? I will not be overtaken. I will not be overcome, or something like that. And that's a good thing to think about today, even as we wrap this up, that I will not be overcome. I will not be overtaken. Because I'm on the King's Highway. You know, I'm there.
He's there with me. He's there protecting me. He's beside me, around me, behind me, in front of me. Woo! He's there. Because why? Because I'm part of his kingdom. I want to live in his kingdom. I want to work in his kingdom. I want to be a part. I want to share. I want to exemplify that. I want to encourage others to do the same. I want them to say, on this side of heaven, I'm a kingdom child, and God is protecting me and providing for me and taking care of me. And Jesus said that, you know, we have abundant life. Jesus came so that we would have life and have it in abundance. Praise God for that. And so we look this and we walk this out this way. Now, as we wrap this up, okay, I'm just going to look at this and then we're going to say, it's right about coming up to noon. There's six principles. I kind of covered them at the very beginning of all this, but six principles. Principle number one, believers' priorities need to reflect that they are serving God. Hello. Believers' priorities need to reflect that they are serving God. What are your priorities showing on what you're doing? Who are you serving? Principle two, your believers need to rid themselves of sin in their lives by obeying God and continually seeking his presence. Clean it up, clean it out, and get rid of it. Amen? Keep washing it out. You know, I know my sins have been cleansed and I've been forgiven, but my flesh and the things that still crop up here and there, and even if I speak negatively about something and I shouldn't, and that's not the right thing to say, and I should be walking in love. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I don't want to displease you. So believers need to rid themselves of sin in their lives, obeying God. Number three, remember the parable of the sower. The parable that Jesus shares describes the reason why the word of the kingdom is either producing or it's not. The parable of the sower, how that seed was put out, on what kind of ground. What kind of ground are you? Do you need your water, or do you need your ground, you know, cut back up a little bit and cultivate a little bit and help the word grow a little bit more? We looked at that as far as the parable of the sower. Very important on how we grow in the things of God. And then we look at be a giver of tithes, offerings, and whatever else God directs you to give. Don't hold back whatever God has instructed you to do. Tithes could be that of finances, could be that of your time, could be that the Lord has said you know you got a good talent in this. You ought to volunteer for that. Oh, you've got time for that. You ought to step up and help out in that, or whatever the case might be. So it's not just money, it's talents and giftings, tithes. Don't hold back. Principle five is when you pray, pray in faith. Don't pray in doubt. If you're going to pray, pray knowing that your prayer is going up. Amen. And that you think about when as soon as you pray it and as soon as you say amen, boom, it's there. The Lord has heard it. Now the answer might be sidetracked for a while, for 20 or 21 days because of the adversaries and the spiritual realms that are taking place that are hindering it. I began to think, you know, when our prayer times on Wednesday, it's like, you know, we're going to pray things out. And then after that, I started praying this past week or two about this. It's like, Lord, I've prayed. You've heard my prayer. And now, Lord, I just ask you that if there's something in between that prayer coming down to this place, that, Father, you remove it quickly. Your will, but, you know, do it, Lord. Or else I say, devil, if you're in between the answer to my prayer and it getting to me, I bind you in the name of Jesus to get out of the way. You have no authority. You're not going to sit there and try to hold it and hinder it up. You're not going to stay there another 2 days or 2 months or 5 years so that my faith wavers, so that I begin to doubt. Because I'm not going to doubt my God. Because his word says when I said it and when I prayed it and he heard it, he sent the answer. It's just you in the way. And you got to get out of the way. You're defeated. You have no power. That's a different way to start praying. You pray against the roadblock. You pray against those things that are hindering those things. Because there's no need. And there's been times in my prayer where I said, oh, Lord, I don't know. Did you hear me that last week when I prayed, Lord? Lord, where are you? Hello. No, when you realize these things and you begin to read and reread the things in the Old Testament and how things were accomplished, it's the same today. It's that same spiritual realm, the principalities and powers above that we're dealing with, and whatever the devil can do to hold up your prayer, to hold up your answer from God, he's going to do it just so he can create doubt, disbelief, and unfaith in you. And then he's succeeded. But you got to stand strong. You say, I know more of your ways now, devil, than I did before I read this. This manual of God's enlightened me on how you handle things. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's what Jesus said. Hey, you can do the same thing. And then the sixth one is, become empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is there to lead. The Spirit is there to guide, direct, convict, witness, and He's there to empower you. Woo, the dunamis power. We've talked before, you guys are like little kegs of gunpowder out there ready to go off. We just got to light your fuse. We just got to let you understand who you are in Christ. We got to let you know that in the kingdom of God, who you are in the kingdom of God, the power that you have at your discretion, at your calling out. Oh, Lord, send down those angels. Send down Michael. Send down that army, whatever. Like Jesus, you know, my goodness, they said, well, if you had this, Jesus said, well, I could have just spoke the word I can't think of now the terminology. Anyway, just a battalion of angels would come, you know. Just all I have to do, I could have spoke, boom. And Pontius Pilate, all those guys, they wouldn't have been able to hold him in prison or nothing. He would have just said, okay, boom. And then wiped out everything, but that wasn't the plan, and so we fulfilled that, and we see that. But I could have called down an army of angels. Well, you can do the same thing at some of the things that you're dealing with. Man, we're just in the spirit to say, ooh. And that's why I think in my prayer times now of going into that other area of pray the prayer, and then you pray the protection or the receiving of it and say, whatever is hindering it, Lord, I just come against it right now in your name. Thank you, Lord. So become empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is there to help you, lead you, direct you, guide you, convict you, to help you be walking in that love and all that other stuff. Witness and to empower you, the believer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.